Hello and welcome to Bowler's Grind. I'm your host, Marshall Kennebrew, and today we are congratulating co-host Kyle Michalowski on his second ABT championship, as well as talking about a couple different urethane things going on the lanes. So I hope you guys enjoy.
Hello.
Yo, what's going on?
Not much.
All right, so we are here to congratulate the two-time ABT champion, Kyle Michalowski. Congratulations, Kyle.
Thank you, Marshall.
So, first question for you. Did this one feel any different than the first one? Like, what were your nerves, and how did it all kind of play out? Give us a quick overview.
It felt kind of similar. I felt like everything was clicking. I kind of had an idea of what I needed to bowl on since the pattern was the same as the one the last time we bowled. Like 2 weeks ago, there was one where I bowled and made the finals, but I didn't win it. And the pattern was the same, so I knew kind of what to do. And I knew how the finals was going to go, because what made me bowl bad in that one is that they never re-oiled and the pattern broke down really harshly and it hooked a lot in the finals. And that was the same thing. So I kind of knew what was going to happen. And then so I just tried navigating it different than I did last time. And luckily it worked out. I kind of held water the first two games, just shot about 2-0, 2-0. And then the last game, I went to a cleaner ball that allowed it to float through the middle because the other balls were kind of reading it too hard and just checking
out. Which ball did you start with and which ball did you move to?
So at the beginning, I started with the pitch black and the idle Helios, and I was just trying to be far left and throwing them right, and they were kind of just catching on the random friction throughout the lane just because of how everyone played them and how many balls went down the lane, and it was just catching on a bunch of stuff and just checking up early and going high or getting there but like kind of struggling to do so. And then game three, I switched to the Zen, hoping that it would be cleaner, and my hopes were correct, and it was cleaner. And on top of that, there was a strong amount of friction to the right, so when I missed right, it would fly back. If I missed left, it held and sat there, and so I had a great look, and I could just throw it good, and at that point I didn't really have to try too hard. I just had to throw shots, and I had a ton of room with that ball with how the pattern broke down. So I just finished and kept throwing shots and just kept striking.
That's awesome, man. I wanted to ask you about the balls that you used as far as just like what you brought. I think you mentioned the pitch black, idle Helios, and the Zen, and those were basically it for the tournament.
Yeah, I also used the High Road Max a little bit, but not too much. One thing was in the matches, the first matches, or the one from last time, I didn't play the qualifying part the same, just because I was bowling with some people who don't really like urethane. And I normally don't care about that, but I didn't want to upset anybody today because I was, I bowl with them before and I know that they're not really urethane guys, and they're kind of, they seem kind of happy that I wasn't throwing it. So I was like, okay, might as well. And I felt my look was good enough with both anyways. So, and sure enough, my scores were similar to the last time that I qualified. And so it really didn't change too much. I was striking pretty well and kept throwing spares, and it was overall a good day.
So this is a common theme that I keep hearing for maybe other bowlers, or just things that we've talked about personally from tournaments that we've put ourselves in. But sometimes it's just a matter of getting comfortable, treading water a little bit, swimming, posting some decent scores, and, you know, getting in that comfort zone to where when you find your spot, now it's a matter of repeating and not panicking early. Spares are crucial. They're super important early on, not only just to get your scores consistent and where you want them to be, but like I said, also just comfort. Like when I mark three times in a row to start a tournament, I'm just ready to go because I feel like, all right, I've maybe missed three times, but I'm a lot closer to the answer than I was prior to that. And if you can get the spares along the way, that builds confidence, and boom, strike in the fourth frame, now you're ready to go. So I'm just learning just from listening and talking to so many other bowlers. Like I said, you're well beyond where I'm at. But to hear someone say, yeah, I was, you know, just kind of treading water. I was just kind of making it by at first. You know, that's, you know, we've talked to Rome, we've talked to other bowlers. Like that's something that I'm hearing is very important, of climbing the ladder and making it through to the next rounds and to winning the tournament. So with that being said, you made it through to the next round. Was there, how many people were in the next round at the finals, or was there another round before the finals?
So there was 12 people in the finals, I think. Yeah, four. There might have been 14 or 15, actually.
Okay. And do they re-oil usually for the finals at the local events?
No, they didn't re-oil at all.
Okay, so heading into the finals, you finished up with the Zen. Did you think about starting with the Zen? Or did you have, what was your mindset going into the last round?
So going into the finals, I was just going to go left, and that's what I did. I went left with the stronger balls and slower balls, which was the idle and the pitch black. And when I switched out to, in that third game, to the Zen, I was just thinking, I need something to clear this because they're like just picking up randomly in the lane, and I kind of just need something to shoot through it. And I was hoping the Zen would be clean enough to do that, and luckily it was, because that was the cleanest ball I had in my bag at the time, because I only brought six up, and a lot of them had surface because it was my normal league stuff that I brought up. So that was the only ball that was shiny that I would get through it. And luckily it did, and it looked really good.
Good stuff. Good stuff. So this was your second win. Did you do any brackets or any other things like that as far as just side action goes?
I got in the side pots that I could. They only had a couple brackets, but yeah, I won pretty much everything.
Good stuff. Good stuff, man. Clean sweep. Confidence builder for the Nationals. You're feeling good. I didn't bowl this particular event. I've been kind of playing it low key the past month. I was sick for about a week and a half to start out the year. And then it was just a matter of, you know what, I want to get my stamina back, my strength back. So did not participate in this particular tournament, but I'm feeling good. I'm ready to go for Nationals. I'm ready to give it my all. Was there anything else you wanted to add just from your perspective at ABT? Because I want to kind of branch off into maybe something else that was going on in the PBA world. I know you mentioned urethane. And other players having thoughts about it, and or just the things that were going on with Sean Rash and stuff like that. So I didn't know if you want to put a cap on the ABT or if you want to kind of shift into something else.
Yeah, there's not really much else besides just thanking the guys at ABT for running the tournament.
Good stuff, good stuff. We both will be at the next one. That's going to be at the South Point. It is during the same week as TAT, I believe. They just overlap for the most part, right?
Yeah, so the ABT finals Saturday, the TAT finals is Sunday.
Cool, cool. Yeah, that gives us an opportunity and other bowlers to kind of plant a couple seeds and see which one sprouts, and maybe you'll be in both finals. So I know we're ready. But yeah, thoughts on urethane and things like that, because again, just for me, I've gone into tournaments a couple times. I started off using urethane as like a heavy crutch when I would do no thumb, and I've kind of started to learn to be more comfortable playing more from the left, using more reactive balls. I'm still not like repeating at the level that I want to, but yeah, what are your thoughts on just this whole urethane, no urethane? Should you play your own game? Should you not worry about it? Like, what are your thoughts, and how do you handle these situations on the lane?
Well, I think urethane is really good when it needed to be used, but there are times when like it's unnecessary and you're using it and it's just screwing up everyone's line and it's not helping yourself either. Like a lot of times I feel like on house, that's when a lot of people use it and people get upset. But like on patterns and stuff, most of the time I feel like it makes sense to use it because it just calms things down, especially on the flatter patterns where you don't want your ball to overreact and your only option is to either put a ton of surface and make your ball just roll out, or you just get as weak a ball as possible and hope that it doesn't peel off the spot or just go dead straight, depending on what your rev rate is, obviously.
See, and like, I wanted to ask you real quick about that. So like, I remember like, I think it was my very first tat. I was using 14-pound jagged edge, and it was either that or a hot cell urethane. And I didn't understand really much back then. I was more just kind of plopping it forward and picking up spares. But I do remember that I put a lot of surface on my jagged edge, and in actuality, that's trying to replicate the role of urethane, right? So why wouldn't you just use urethane? Is it because if you surface up a reactive, it won't push the oil? Is that the difference there, even though the motion is kind of similar?
So it's just because of how the cover is. Like the urethane cover doesn't absorb the oil. So
Right. Okay.
It stays on the surface, so as it goes down the lane it stays there and the urethane ball flares less, so the less it flares the more chance that oil on the surface has chance to contact the lane down lane when you get to the dry boards and put it down lane, which causes that reaction. And since it's picking up all the oil in the front and then putting it all down lane, you're just having a whole ton of it's basically ruining your reaction with most balls like reactive and stuff. It makes it so that you have to go super weak or you have to go like just completely away from it just to make it happen, because it's making the fronts hook a lot and making down lane hook not a lot. So you're just like creating this zone where it just can't, your ball can't do anything because you're just burning all its energy in the front. And then when it gets to where it needs to use its energy, there's no energy left. So it just doesn't hook.
So is this fair to say, is this a fair takeaway that if you use urethane to start with, it's pushing oil, but if you use a sanded down reactive, you're creating future hook? You're creating like, if you wanted to maybe ball down and then play off that, now there's because that first ball absorbed the oil, so now there's more hook there.
Yeah, so if you're using sanded reactive, it's picking up the oil and it's flaring, so the ball's covering new surface every rotation. There's still a tiny bit of oil that will get down to the end of the lane from reactive, because your ball bow ties, it has flare bow ties, so it intersects at certain points. The thing with urethane is those intersections are longer, and also they have, they're closer together, so it has a chance to put it on the lane through all that. Whereas reactive, the flare is more separate, so it's like what reactive will put on is like maybe the size of a nickel or a quarter, whereas like urethane is going to be more like a half dollar.
Okay. And like, and you have to explain this to me, because I'm a little bit newer to a lot of these different bowlers, but I've been seeing a lot of posts on Facebook and Instagram of just like memes about Sean Rash and him being upset about water bottles and urethane. Can you explain that to me real quick? Because I'm not getting the reference. I understand the issue that happened recently, but what's the reference with the water bottles and urethane?
So the water bottle thing goes back to a long time ago, which is him. He was on a TV show bowling against Jason Belmonte. I think it was a team event. I could be wrong because I don't remember. I've seen all the stuff, but I don't remember what they were actually doing on the show. But they were bowling each other, and Belmo was just drinking water, and Rash struck on something, and then apparently the water crinkling, you know how like you drink a water bottle and it just crinkles and makes noise?
Yeah.
Apparently it pissed Sean Rash off, because it was like during shots or something, and so he was pissed off about that, and which I understand, but I also like, I believe that if whatever you do, if someone does anything, you should be able to handle it and throw a good shot no matter what. Like, even if someone shoots an air horn, or like, only thing is like, if an explosion goes off, then I would give you that, just because like shockwave and stuff, but like air horn or anything like that, I feel like you should be able to bowl well. No matter what, you should be able to tune out everything and throw your shot and have no reaction or no attention taken off of it. You should be zoned into what you're doing and nothing should affect you. But that's how I feel. But yeah, he got mad about Belmo drinking the water during shots and stuff, and it was making the crinkling noise. And so that's the water bottle thing. The urethane thing, on the other hand, is a different thing. Rash came from the era where reactive started, and there was like all the old urethane made no sense to throw anymore, so everyone was only throwing reactive. And he believes that everyone should be just, there should be no urethane. People should just figure out how to bowl good enough that they don't need to throw a crutch ball, basically, is what he thinks of it as, because it just, you can throw it, a lot of people can throw it almost all the time, honestly, like especially lefties, which is another thing out there where that you just have it always as an option, and it always looks good, and it kind of removes the difficulty of some of the patterns. And so he thinks it should not be allowed in play anymore. And he also has a problem with the purple hammer in general, just because of the softness testing that has been done on past ones. But this is the old iteration of the purple hammer that got tested, where it was too soft. And apparently it's due to urethane. How it works is over time the balls just get softer, and so the balls are perfectly legal when they come out, but over time of use the ball gets softer, and then it comes under the like PBA and USB-C's limit for those balls, which is why Rash thinks they shouldn't be allowed.
Is it safe to say that he's one of the most opinionated bowlers? Because I've been hearing his name a lot, and it seems like he's got a lot of opinions on different topics about rules and regulations in the sport.
He is one of them. There's a few of them, but he's definitely one of them. He's very an outburst kind of guy, which, as you can tell by his two big events.
Yeah, he's definitely got that fiery spirit, and I'm sure more times than not, it helps him kind of compete and be that athlete that you know, likes to dominate situations and kind of yell and shout. And everyone has their own kind of. I know, you know, Belmo's more sarcastic, but he's a little bit more quiet. He's a little bit more of a thinker, from what I've seen. So they're a little bit polar opposites in that regard. So it's kind of funny to see that the water bottle would bother him like that. That's pretty hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of funny, but yeah, that's basically what's been going on about that.
So, you know, for me, I find it interesting because I'm one of those people that, like, I try to figure things out, and if there's a reason or excuse for me to not be good, I try to, like, not have that be there. So, as I'm getting better, I would never want to stop using urethane if there was a reason for me to do well. If it caused issue to other people's lines and team events, that's a whole nother thing. But at the end of the day, I'm from that belief that the balls are all round. They all do different things. And you should find the ball that matches your style and use it what's best for you, you know, because I don't even think when they made urethane bowling balls, two-handed bowling was even really a style, was it, when they first came out with urethane?
Oh, no. It was not. Two-handed bowling came out around reactive time, but urethane was, like, way back. I think it was either just after plastic or after rubber. And that was used primarily on tour. Every ball was urethane at one point. A majority of balls were urethane. Some were probably rubber and plastic still. But, yeah, they didn't use them very much. And then, I don't know how many years ago, but it resurged and people made a new urethane ball just to bring it back. And it actually worked really well. And so with the modern cores and the urethane covers, it hooked really well. And so you see now the Purple Hammers and the Pitch Blacks doing all these crazy things, like where they can, like, basically take some of the patterns difficulty completely out of play, because it's just so easy with the urethane ball that the reactive ball that's struggling to strike is not as good as the urethane ball just striking every time, just because it reads so early and you can stay so right with it and just throw it and have so much miss room because just how slow it is.
Is it me, or is it us? Is it typically like two-handers or no-thumbers have higher success using urethane because it's like a controllable high-rev type ball? Like, if they can get their revs up and they can control the motion on a difficult pattern, is that people that excel with it more, or are there thumb bowlers that are pretty good with it as well?
Oh, there are thumb bowlers that are pretty good with it. I don't know if you count Buttriff, but Jacob Buttriff runs everybody over with it.
Right.
He strikes more than anybody on tour.
But he's got a rev rate that would match two-hander just because of the way his grip is, would you say?
I think he's a little less, but yeah. But even then, like, people like Bill O'Neill and stuff like that use it all the time.
Right. Okay.
Just for two-handers, it makes it extra help But also, the guys with lower rev rates are more likely to get reactive balls to not overreact because they have a lower rev rate, so their ball doesn't read the friction as hard. In which, so those flat spots where you're throwing through the middle of the lane and your ball hooking off the planet for a two-hander may go and hit the pocket for a one-hander.
Right. No, I'm again, as I get more knowledgeable and I learn more things and my mechanics get better, I find that as I transition into two-handed bowling on the tougher patterns, I just grab the urethane and go from there. And then if I find a line and I'm striking, it's like, why would I use anything else? Like it's controllable, it's comfortable. And that's even with backup too. I've in the past 2 months purchased some lefty drill balls for Mr. Justin Coley. Appreciate that. And I found three that work really well, and they all do something a little bit different. And oops, my dog's making a little bit of noise. But my favorite ball on each side, if you were to say, hey, we're on a really tough pattern, grab a ball on either side to get to the pocket, it'd be that desert tank. And that's like a hybrid of all sorts of things because it's like a urethane motion, but what is it? Micro, not polymer. Is it micro?
Microtrax polymer.
Micro what?
Trax.
Micro Trax polymer cover stock, which is a little bit different than like the pitch black cover stock, but it's got a. I don't know, man. That ball is just very mat. It's magical to me. And on either side of the lane, it's 900 strikes all day. And one is drilled a little bit different. It's drilled for a lefty. One's drilled kind of neutral, and first ball out of the bag. If I were to go either way with those two, I'm in love. That the pitch black, and and then some reactives. But speaking of urethane, like I said, I if someone were using urethane on my lane, at least I know. Okay, great. I'm gonna join the party, and myself being a urethane bowler, and you like them as well. You've had to learn how to play off of it, so then you know more how to get out of that situation than bowlers that don't ever use it. So again, I don't really see a good excuse to not have it a part of your game, because there's going to be so many two-handers, so many just urethane bowlers on these patterns. Why not at least be able to combat that if that were to be the case, even if it's not your A game? So maybe not the people like Sean Rash. He's a PBA bowler, been bowling his whole life. Maybe he knows what his bread and butter is. But I would say for most people, like, there's nothing wrong with being versatile and knowing how to handle multiple situations.
Yeah, that's true.
But that's just how I look at it. Again, it goes back into baseball. Like I used to try to switch hit. I could never do it. But those that could, I was envious because I thought, man, there's nothing that's going to fool them because they've switched the advantage on the situation. And again, I don't think a lot of bowlers do this, but I haven't really given up on my backup ball. I like it a lot, a lot, a lot. And today, it's just in the pocket often, just using urethane and going forward. Obviously, I want to find my ABC game, but I think experimenting on things, trying things out, having the confidence to say, I'm going to do this. I might look silly. I might look foolish. Not everything works, but I think that's how you find out what does and doesn't work. And I'm excited about that process. Was there anything else you wanted to add to this one? Because I think we got a lot of good information in there. Anything about maybe just the PBA update as far as where things are at? Did he get the first seed, Sean Rash?
Yep, Sean Rash's first seed, then Belmo, and then I think it was Arturo, then Tommy, then Grandpa.
Okay. Well, I'm a Belmo fan. I follow all his stuff on Instagram. I watch a lot of his videos, and I think he's pretty freaking hilarious. There's some YouTube videos you can find of him. Just he's pretty funny. So I'm rooting for Belmo. I don't know who you're rooting for as far as you want to win, or do you just enjoy watching the competition and learning?
For me, it would be Belmo or Arturo. I've met Arturo before. He was hosting the or the one of the Storm tournaments here, and it was cool meeting him. But for me, Belmo is he's the one who I watched to learn how to bowl two-handed initially, and he's definitely been the one I've been rooting for. I think the show from the qual or seeding round, it looked like it came down to like Belmo just not getting carry on one shot, because I think it came down to five pins, the difference between him and Rash for the final set. So he also had two pocket 7-10s
damn
on one of the on the same lane in two of the games where he was just striking. So it kind of shot him down, but and overall they both bowled really good, so it's going to be an interesting show. And if it's those two in the finals, it's going to be a really interesting show.
Oh man, that's must-see television right there. I'm excited for it.
Yep.
Well, are you bowling anything this weekend?
I am bowling Daryl's five gamer.
Is that tomorrow or Sunday?
It's both. He has four different squads.
Ah, okay. I might hit that up Sunday. I bowled a lot today. My fingers are a little sore. I'm going to probably drive tomorrow and take it easy, but I might hit that up Sunday. So good luck to you tomorrow. Pick up your spares, find your groove, take it easy. And once you're there and you're locked in, just give it hell. Do your thing.
Sounds good.
All right, bro. Talk to you later.
Keep going well.
Thanks, brother. Have a good night.
Good night.
Hey guys, if you made it all the way to the end, appreciate taking the time out of your day to listen. We have a part two coming up, kind of concluding how things went at Nationals, recapping where we are in the start of February and going forward. So hope you guys enjoy the next one. And until we talk to you guys, have a great week.